My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist, composer, and author Robin Malloy Goldsby. She's played in hotels, bars, and clubs, and has written a fascinating and funny book called Piano Girl, giving us the inside story of a piano player's life. And of course, she'll play as well as talk. Robin, I'm so excited to meet you.
Not as excited as I am to be here, Marian. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I'm so glad you could come.
Thank you.
And I think the book is hilarious and well-written, and it's got its serious parts.
Thank you.
But what's amazing to me is when you were a kid, you were going to college, but were you studying to be an author?
No, I was studying to be an actress, actually, in college. But
really?
I had always played the piano. You know, I took piano lessons, and I grew up around music, in the music business. My father's a musician. So I had the music part of me. I was studying to be a serious actress, actually. And I wrote for fun. You know, I wrote song lyrics. I still do. And little stories, mostly to entertain myself. So I've always had a fondness for writing. But this is my first book. I'm still surprised when you introduced me as a pianist, composer, and author. I'm still surprised to hear somebody say author.
Well, you are an author. And I mean, it's a very well-written book. And I can't say enough about it. So, however, you were going to college, and the thing that's so interesting on the break from college, you were going to be of all things a waitress in this club,
and keeping
at Nantucket.
Keeping with the tradition of actresses working as waitresses when they don't have an acting job, I decided that I would try and get a waitressing job, and I was a complete disaster at it. I didn't have a clue. My mother, I realized my mother kept me out of the kitchen for a good reason. When I started waitressing, I was dropping things, and there was one incident I remember involving blood. Even it was a complete disaster, and I knew that my piano teacher would be upset with me if I didn't keep up with my music studies while I was away. So I went into a nightclub on Nantucket Island and asked this lecherous old man who was
who's that, Lino?
Lino Capolino, yeah. And he you remembered that, Lino. I think there's a Lino working in every nightclub, actually. I have a I have a friend whose theory is that food and beverage directors all have the same mother, that they're all actually the same person. But anyway, this guy, he was in the grandpa category. You know, he was half lecherous and half protective of me. And when I asked him if I could practice his piano in the club in the mornings, when they were closed anyway, he said, yeah, sure, that's no problem. You can practice here all the time. And I started the next day to practice, and he offered me a job paying $50 a night to play the piano in this club, and I had no idea what I was doing.
The way you described it was so wonderful. You went jumping down the street.
I was in show business.
You threw the hairnet away that you'd been given.
That's the first thing I did, Marian, when I got my piano job, is I got rid of that hairnet that I had to wear as a waitress.
Though that's how you might say, broke into show business from that moment on. That was your first job.
That was my first job. And I still remember standing in that payphone on Nantucket, calling my parents, collect, and saying, Daddy, Daddy, I got a job. I'm a bar piano player. And he said, that's great, Robin, but you can't do that. You only know 10 songs, and 9 of them are Bach. What are you going to play? And he shipped me this crate. It was like the Popiel Pocket Fisherman for cocktail piano players. He shipped me a crate of fake books.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
My mom threw in some evening gowns that she – I don't know where she collected them from friends and relatives. Threw in some evening gowns, and my dad included a roll of masking tape and an extension cord because he said with those two items I could handle – any problem on the job.
I thought that was fantastic. And you were in show business, and your parents were very happy for you.
They were happy for me, but I think they were also glad that my experiment was taking place out of town. My dad had his reputation to worry about back in Pittsburgh.
Well, so. I would love to hear you play one of the things you must have played a million times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to play something for you.
What would you like to play?
I thought I'd play a piece called Peaceful Harbor. I actually wrote it about my time on Nantucket. Nantucket is one of my favorite places in the world, and a good friend of our family's, Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, also lived up there during the summer, and on my last CD I dedicated this piece to him.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Called Peaceful Harbor.
Wonderful. Tell me some more things about your licentious life. where did Don Brockett come into your life?
Oh, well, I knew Don because of his work on the Mr. Rogers Show, and my father played the drums on the Mr. Rogers Show for 35 years, so I got to know all of the cast members from that show, and Don Brockett was Chef Brockett on Mr. Rogers. But in addition to that, he was also a theatrical producer. And he had a whole stable of kids, he called us the kids, in Pittsburgh, who did musicals and industrial shows and all kinds of crazy things. It's quite an illustrious list of people, kids who went through the Don Brockett School of Entertainment, as we called it. You know, he put us all to work, and we had to learn how to put shows together really fast. And I did some acting things for him, but I also played the piano for him quite a bit. And I did my first job with Don was doing a cabaret theater piece, dinner theater, called TV or Not TV, that was a cabaret about television shows. You can imagine how crazy that was. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, he sounds like a sort of like a bully almost at times.
A bully with a heart of gold, though. You know, he really did have a tremendous love for his craft and also for the people who worked with him. But boy, he could cuss you out something fierce if you didn't come through for him. You know, you had to. That's the main thing I learned from him, is how to really be prepared when you get into a performance situation and be able to do what you're supposed to do.
You've really learned a lot, and you've done so many different things. For instance, you auditioned for the circus. It's fantastic.
I did. Yeah,
and
I worked.
How did that work out?
Well, actually, it did work out fairly well. What I didn't say in the book is that I auditioned for the circus one time, and they didn't take me. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not even good enough for the circus. So I went back a second time, and that's the audition that I wrote about in the book. And I decided I was going to do everything I could to get the job. So I wore this sort of see-through white leotard.
But you're doing all these spins.
I had some sort of minor dance training. Back then, children weren't able to take piano lessons and ballet lessons and singing lessons and everything else. I sort of had to pick one or the other. I stuck with the piano, but I was a closet dancer. So I still am, actually. So when I got into also, I'm tall and have pretty long legs, so I look like I should be able to dance. And you know, when you're that age, you're willing to try things that you have no business trying. And when they asked me if I could do a time step, I said, yeah, and I smiled and moved my feet around a lot. And I somehow got in. They took me in the circus.
It's amazing the way you talked about it, as if you had the most confidence in the world and you did all these twirls and twists and things that you'd never done before.
Right,
And it all came off.
It did. I knocked over a local news television station cameraman in the process of doing those twirls. That was really good. That day I was on the news, the local evening news, twice in one day. Once they sent a news crew to the circus audition, and there was footage of me doing these hideous spins. And then I had a gig that same night playing the piano at some society party, and that same news crew was at the party. So I was actually on the news twice, once doing these crazy spins and the other time behind the piano.
It says Pittsburgh Girl. Did it have a headline?
No, they didn't even mention the fact that it was the same woman in both things. Actually, you wouldn't have recognized me. You know, I had two completely different outfits on. I had on my piano player a black dress at the party and had taken off my circus girl makeup, so I looked like a normal person back then. But it was very funny for me to see that.
That's incredible. Well, while I'm coming down from that, I would love to hear you do another solo.
I'd love to.
This is a tune from one of your records, isn't it?
Yes. I did a recording of some of my favorite standards and pop songs, and I put this song on it. It's called Somewhere in Time, and it's from the movie of the same title. A lot of people really like this piece of music, and I'm one of them.
Well, you called it the CD, Somewhere in Time.
Yeah, that's the title track of the CD. The CD's called Somewhere in
what
Time.
What label are those CDs?
My husband and I have our own record label. It's called Bass Lion Music.
Oh, that's great, because I did the same thing. I know
you were one
of
your pioneers, weren't you, with that?
I guess I was one of the early ones. Mm-hmm. I know how it feels to do all the stuff you have to do to have your own record company.
It's daunting on one hand. There's a lot of busy work involved with it. But on the other hand, the creative freedom that it allows you to be able to make all of your own decisions.
That's right. And
it's wonderful.
And you choose the photos you like, the tunes you like. Put the artwork and everything together.
Right.
And your records are beautifully packaged.
Thank you.
They just look great. So I'm dying to hear Somewhere in Time.
Okay.
Robin, we ought to take a stab at a duet, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should take a stab at it. I always play by myself. I never play with other musicians. You know, it's the nature of my work. But I would be honored to try and do this.
And by the way, you chose Charade.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny that you were playing in a club and Henry Mancini came in, and you were playing Charade in 5-4.
Why
did you do that?
Because I was 19 and I didn't know any better. That's probably the correct answer. Although he was very nice to me, he came over to the piano and said, I didn't know who he was when he came to the piano. Because to see him, I knew his name, of course, but his appearance, it didn't mean anything to me. And he came over to the piano and said, Miss, you're doing a very good job. This is playing the piano in a bar is one of the most difficult jobs in music, and you're doing it very well. And I said, oh, thank you very much, and extended my hand and said my name to him. My name's Robin Malloy. And he said, I'm Hank Mancini. And I did that stutter thing, you know, when you meet famous people or people who you admire. I started to stutter, and before I could say anything, he walked away, and I wanted to say to him, well, I can do it again. I'll play it again in 3. But, yeah, he was very nice. It was very nice of him to take the time to say something
kind to
me.
I think that's great. That's certainly something to have in your, not only in your book, but your memory book.
Yeah, that snow globe of my mind. I can shake it up and have little memories.
The snow globe of your mind. I love that. Yeah. Anyway, it was a cute story. And I love the song, so we can have a go at that.
Okay, let's have a go at it.
All right. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Baldwin Piano Company, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.